and glory, power and honor. Glory, honor, and power. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Runner for Christ Saturday morning worship service and celebrating Runner for Christ 18th church anniversary. What a blessing. They are truly teaching, learning, and doing. 18 years, that's a blessing. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday worship experience. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Sister Keela Freeman. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for being with us this morning.
And thanks for having me. It's a privilege and an honor.
Amen. Thank you. Take it away, Sister Keela.
Okay. Good morning. This morning's scripture will be coming from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 13, a living sacrifice to God, a living sacrifice to God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think that you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tight to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confidence. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. And always be eager to practice hospitality. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of the faith, that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick, the shut in, and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and preach word so that all of those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty name, mighty and wonderful name, that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Keela. Thank you for being
welcome.
With us. Have a great day.
Okay, and you too. Thank you.
All right. You know, I just love Romans 12:1-13. That's something we should just read every day and just focus and try to do. Something in that scripture is just beautiful to me. Hey, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
There are times when life seems so unfair. Disappointments and disillusions. Disgrace and a whole lot of despair. Sight of where you were, can't figure out when, you don't know where. Now you're running out of time and out of friends and out of strength. My God, you're running out of air.
You've been on a long and rocky road. Had times you felt cheated to have to bear this load. While others who would barely even try would spread their wings like eagles and soar into the sky. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is all there. But because of who he is, and because of where he's been, because of what he's done, you can start all over again.
Oh yeah.
Yes, you can
start over. father begins today.
Yes.
Start over again.
Oh, yes, you can.
Your weeping may endure for a night. Had a long night. Had to wrestle. Had to fight.
Start all over again.
Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock.
Start again.
It's morning.
Start again.
Start over again.
Doesn't matter.
Tell the devil I'm back. Got my courage back. Tell your woman. Tell your son, your daughter too. That it's back. Clark Kent back to Superman. Got my fight back. Superman, get back up again. You can do it.
Yes, you can.
You can do it.
Oh, yes, you can.
On your mark.
Yes, you can.
Get set.
You can.
Amen. That's the wonderful thing about being a child of God. Amen. That is our biggest selling point right there, that we get to start all over again. I love it that Jesus sat down with Nicodemus and said, you must be born again if you want to experience, if you want to see the kingdom of heaven. It's something that you can't see with your eyes. It's something that you can only see with your spirit. Amen. And those who come close to the Lord to start all over again, amen, they must learn to worship him in spirit and in truth. And the part that I love about that is those are the ones that the Father truly seeks to worship him and how he wants to be worshiped. Amen. It's a wonderful thing that every time we mess up, all we have to do is get back up, like Donnie McClurkin say, and get back in line. Amen. Amen. The Lord be ministering to me with these songs all week long. They don't just start when these services start, but it's something that goes on all week long. And he especially wanted me to play this song, these songs anyway. It's by Donnie McClurkin, and we've heard it. It's been around for a long time, but God wants us to know that sometimes we can beat ourselves up. Amen. And the Lord never beats on us. He did all that to Jesus on the cross. You saw the passion or should see it. Amen. So all that stuff's out the way. All that punishment, all that. There's no condemnation to those. Come on, Crystal, but to those who are in Christ. Amen. All we have to do is learn how to walk and stand up in Jesus. So when we fall down, if you're a real saint, sooner or later, you're going to get over yourself and get back up.
We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. Oh, yes. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down. But we couldn't stay there. And God say that
we fall down,
over
but we get up.
Get back
we
up.
Fall down,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
we
yeah.
Get up.
Back up.
We fall down.
Oh my,
but
my, my.
Get
we get back up again.
For a thing
yes,
yeah.
Oh yes, we are. But we can't stay there. There's a seed of righteousness inside of you. Oh,
we
stay now.
But we get
back up again.
We fall down
sometimes. But we get back up
again.
Yes, we do that.
We
rise back up again.
For we get up.
matter where you are, no matter what you've done,
you can get back up again.
Get back up again.
Get back up again.
Get back up again.
No matter how far you fall,
get back up again.
You can get back up again.
Get back up again.
He's waiting on you.
Get back up again.
Get back up again. Oh. Get back up again.
Get back up again.
Get back up again.
Get back up again.
Arms open wide. Run to his arms. Run to his arms.
It says in Proverbs 24:18, a just man, falleth seven times, but rises back up again. Now, what makes him just? We in the church would call him wicked. If he falls seven times, one time we can understand, twice maybe, but seven times. Well, what makes him just from the Bible standpoint is that he has enough sense to realize that he can get back up. And not only just get back up, but get back in line. No matter where you've fallen from, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've done it, it's not too late. He is so much in love with you that his mercy endures. His mercy is everlasting. It's not too late. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, God is still faithful and he's still just, even when we're unfaithful and when we're not just. He's so faithful and just to forgive you of every single solitary sin. No matter how many promises you've made and broken, no matter how many times you've done it over and over again, I'm a living witness. He will forgive you like he forgave me. He's just waiting on you to confess. Just say, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. I'm not going to make you any more promises. You know my heart. I want to do right. Show me how. Take me back. Put me back in line. I love you. Teach me how to walk right. Break every habit. Loose me from every addiction. Come into my life and my heart and live in me and through me. I give you my life for the rest of my life. And just that quickly, you're forgiven. Just that quickly, you're healed. He's your God and you're his child. No condemnation. No condemnation. Don't remember the past sin because he's forgotten. Isaiah 43:25 says, I am he that blots out your transgressions. And for mine own sake, I will not remember your sin. If he's forgotten them, then you forgive and forget too. You're healed, you're saved, you're whole. Jesus, come on, Pastor Wyatt.
I fell down, but I got up. I fell down, but I got up. I fell down. I got up, cause I found out that a saint is just a sinner who fell down. But it didn't stay there, and God.
Everyone lift those hands.
The word is so amen. You know, I love to, when I listen to these songs, try to find out what happened in the songwriter's life that caused them to write that song. And sometimes we want to be them, and you have no idea where these songs come from. Amen. They come from some really dark, hard, went through some stuff places. And Donnie McClurkin confessed that he used to be practiced the gay lifestyle, and he was challenged by the Lord on that issue, and he walked away from it. Amen. And so when he says in that second part of that song, I know he'll forgive you because he forgave me, that's what he's talking about. Amen. So when you hear these songs, these are children of God, and they have suffered some things, and somehow God blessed them to not want to never, ever deal with it, become depressed about it, but to actually feel the love and grace and mercy of God enough to know that he still loves them in spite of them. And yes, they were willing to write it down in a song what they went through, or they knew or heard from somebody who went through it, like Luke. He, you know, his gospel came from Paul mostly, and some from Peter, and amen, but he wrote. And so these are the experiences of their lives, you know, like Travis Green, when he says in that song, my son is living, my son is breathing. When the devil said no, God said yes, because he was going to die, but God said no, not now. And his son was dying, and they told him it was a wrap, get ready for it, but God changed that thing. So that's where these songs come from. Tasha Cobb wrote a song, and I'm not saying she's saying, I saying, I don't know none of that, only Jesus knows, amen, but she wrote this song, and the Lord ministered to, no, I did not sin, I'm a pastor, and I have members, and the Lord comes to me sometime and say, you need to pray, okay, because this one, he don't mention no names, he just mentioned this one, amen, but listen to the song and be blessed, amen.
Every teeth, I don't dot every eye. Got more flaws than a little, and I messed up a thousand times. I don't always commit. Sometimes I give up way too quick, and then I get tired of trying to run away from who I am, who I wanna be. Some days are better than others. I can be up and I'm down, but beyond my mistakes. Found in your grace, and this one thing will never change. You still love me, in spite of me. Woo! You still chose me. How can it be? Every sun, every song, you see it all. You see it all. You still love me, love me. Oh, in spite of me. Stubborn at heart, I'm quick to put up a gun. I do it all by myself, I won't ask for help, and sometimes my mouth is smart and be insecure.
never gave up on me. Thank you. Thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have been truly moved and encouraged, which takes us the time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence Tate's Pray to the Lord. Amen.
I'm going to wait on you. Help me to wait on you. Help me to wait on you. I'm going to wait until I hear from you. I'll wait for you to see me through. Abide in your word and know it's true. Stand still till you tell me to move. I'm gonna wait until I hear from you. Help me to wait for you to see me through. Abide in your word and know it's true. Stand still and wait until I hear from you. Lord, help me to wait on you patiently. And Lord, help me to seek your face while I'm waiting. Steady your word, be anxious for nothing, so I'll continue serving you. Yes, I'll continue praising you while I wait. Oh, help me to wait on you. Help me to wait on you. I'm gonna wait until I hear from you. I'm waiting for you to see me through. Hide in your word, you know it's true. Stand still, see, tell me to move. I'm gonna wait until I hear from you. Help me, Jesus.
Wait on and wait. Hallelujah. Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, well, if you're hearing my voice, you know what time it is. So, as I'm praying out loud, I want all of us as a collective body to take our needs to God and leave it there. Leave them there because he is the only one that can meet our needs even though we can't see him meet our needs. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be able to talk to you as a collective body. Father, your word says in Isaiah 40 and 31, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Father, I pray for those who are having trouble waiting on you to answer their prayer. I pray for those who are having trouble waiting on you to meet their needs because you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God who meets all of our needs, Father. Even when we don't see our needs being met, Father. Father, your word says in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do anything I say, Father? Father, you tell us to pray without ceasing, rejoice evermore. Father, help us as a collective body pray without ceasing. And when we don't see our need being met, help us to rejoice and know that our needs are already met. Because Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, for my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Father, right now, yes, we're going through some difficult times, Father, but this is a sacred time where we get to talk to you about what we're going through. Father, I pray for our leaders in Washington. I pray that they will understand that the work they're doing in Washington is because of you. Father, give them the heart to see that the corrupt things that they're doing to America is against your will. Father, help us line our hearts up with your will, because your will can't be done in the earth if our hearts are lined up with yours, Father. I pray for the sick and the shut-in right now. Father, I don't know what kind of physical need your children need met, but I know that you will. You have already met their need, even though they may not see their physical need being met, Father. Father, your word says in 1 Thessalonians 4:6-7. If you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray about anything. Father, prayer is not just a one-way communication street. Father, prayer is a two-way communication system. Father, we pray about material things more than we listen to what you want us to pray about. Father, I don't know about anybody else, but I pray for spiritual wisdom for the whole body of Christ. I pray that the whole body of Christ will see that the reason why your glory hasn't been manifested in the earth is because we have gone against your will. We have focused ourselves on material things, and we haven't focused on doing the will of the one who sent us to do what you call us to do. Father, I pray for the preacher today. Give them a word for all of us to hear and obey. But don't give them a word for all of us just to hear and obey. Give them a word for all of us to apply to our lives, Father. Let your will be done in the preacher's heart today. Give them the word to say that you want them to say, Father. Father, for men we not, we are sorry for not listening to your word and going against your word. You've given us many opportunities to follow your word, but we've gone against it. Father, and we ask your forgiveness because of that, Father. You tell us in your word that if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will you forgive their sins, heal their land. Father, you tell us that because you are asking us to turn to you, Father, and we haven't. Father, I ask that you help the whole church turn back to you, and I ask that you turn the church back to you so that you can manifest your glory on earth. Father, I pray for the homeless right now. I pray for their spiritual wisdom, and I pray that they will ask, what must I do to be saved? But most of all, Father, I pray that the church itself will go out and do your will the way you want your will to be done. Father, because the world can't see you. The world can't know you if we hold on to you and if we don't tell anybody about you. So, Father, Jehovah Adonai, the Lord our Master, our Teacher, our Owner, teach us, teach the church how to be willing and ready to work for you with grateful hearts and not hard hearts. Father, fill our spirits up with your knowledge, with your wisdom, with your power, and with your glory. It's in the mighty name of Jesus I pray this prayer. Amen and amen.
power, power, power and prayer, power and prayer. Thank you, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. We truly appreciate you. So far, we are having a great time this morning with more to come. Presiding from sunny Texas, thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay. Time for the preach word, a message from God, the best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is our beautiful spirited woman of God, Minister Janine Folks. Let's prepare to receive Minister Janine Folks come in her own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
Oh,
praise the Lord. Was that the whisper? I was about to Shazam that. I never heard that. I didn't know they made a gospel song. It sounded like them. I'm pretty sure it was. All right, Scotty. Well, good morning, everybody, and praise the Lord. And Running for Christ Ministries, thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Owen, Lady Sheila, for having me. It is such an honor and a privilege. I'm always happy to come before you. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. In 18 years of ministry, congratulations, and may God continue to bless and keep and prosper this ministry and the members, Pastor and Sheila. I wish you continued success and blessings from the Lord. I also want to greet all the associate pastors, ministers, teachers, deacons, trustees, members, family, and friends, all listeners all over the world. Good morning. God bless you. I come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I have a message today, and I'm just grateful. Keila, thank you for that scripture. I love Romans 12. That is definitely, like Kathy said, one to live by. And Kathy, thank you for your gifts and sharing with us. And Terrence, every time Terrence prays, it just confirms that I'm on the right frequency. When he said, God, my God shall supply all my needs. That resonated with me, and I believe that it resonates through the message that I will be sharing with you today. And before I pray, as I prepare to pray briefly, the scripture passage that I'll be coming from today is from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And while you are searching for that, either in a hard copy regular Bible or scrolling through your app on your phone or on your desktop, laptop, however you're getting the word while you travel there, I just want to ask the Lord to come in, Lord, that you would come in and speak to us, speak to our hearts. Lord, prepare us to receive, Lord. Lord, give us an ear to hear what it is that you have for us to receive. And Lord, anything that is not of you, Lord, let it be forgotten quickly. Lord, bless this word. We thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us together again, allowing us to gather. Even though it's virtually, Lord, we are still yet connected until we can meet again physically. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to meet virtually and to receive from you, that even a pandemic would not prevent your word from going forth and reaching your people. We thank you for the technology that we have at a time such as this when we need it, so that we can hear from you. And for that, we say thank you and ask that you would just bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to start in verse 1 and read through 7. And I believe this is a passage that is familiar to all of us, and the way my brain works, well, you probably have an idea right now. I just think about a lot of things and a lot of things that are not mentioned in the text. I just have questions like, Lord, what is this? What is that? So let us explore together. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. And then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all of your neighbors, empty vessels. And don't gather just a few. Gather a lot. Get a lot of them. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him, and she shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, and she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, mother, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased, consequently, when the vessels ran out. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, okay, go and sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons will live on the rest. Now, today, I want to talk about taking a constructive compliment. So you might be wondering, Janine, first of all, what is a constructive compliment, and what does it have to do with this passage? Well, I'm glad you asked. Most of us are familiar with constructive criticism, and many of us have been on the receiving end of what people might describe as constructive criticism. Now, when someone points out something you're doing wrong in an effort to get you to do right or better, that's constructive criticism. And I won't really get into that, but a lot of times constructive criticism is helpful, and it works out with regard to our self-improvement. So constructive criticism is a good thing. Now let's talk about constructive compliments. That's something you don't hear too often. You might be wondering how a compliment can be constructive, because the fact that you're getting a compliment must mean that you're always doing something right. You're already doing something right, right? Well, let me explain and make the connection to this passage. We're going to make the connection, and now I cannot tell you how many people are searching like for their purpose. I hear it a lot, like, I don't know what my gift is. I don't know what my calling is. I don't know what God is assigning me to do. I want to start a business. I want to start a ministry. I want to do something. I want to make a difference in people's lives, but I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what I'm good at. I don't know what I have that's of value. So I just don't know what to do. So I'm really just kind of not doing much of anything except my regular day-to-day. And so many of us are looking for something grandiose to be our gift, or we're comparing ourselves to others, thinking our gift should look like their gift, or it should be something that really sticks out to us. And unknowingly, a lot of us downplay our gift. We have the gift, we're operating in it, functioning in it, and we don't even realize it or recognize it. People say things like, oh, it's just a hobby, or, oh, I just do this for my children. It's not a business. Or I just do this because it's therapeutic. I'm not trying to profit from it. This is just what I do. Oh, that's nothing, girl. I just do that around the house. It's no big deal. So we in our culture, we have made it so taboo to profit or demand our worth. People are afraid to charge for their services. Now, please note, I am not suggesting promoting crookedness, okay? Do not sell snake oil. Do not rip people off or be manipulative with your gifts. But pay to know your worth and not sell yourself short. Don't let people use you or drain you of your gifts while you are struggling. Do not let people guilt you for having a price. There's so much to unpack here in this scripture. There is so much in this passage that's unsaid, which makes a creative person like me think all kinds of things. I have so many questions, and so I might eisegete the text a little bit, because there are things that aren't there that I might insert, so you've been warned. But it's the creative in me, the writer in me. There's so much more I want to know about this whole situation. So much is being left to the imagination in this scenario. Like, how much did they sell the jars of oil for? Or did people give them flack for selling it and not giving it away? Did people accuse them of pimping God's gift? Did they have a marketing plan to completely sell out of a product the way they did? Have you ever tried to sell something? Selling is hard, okay? Now, to completely sell out of a product, and people are still demanding it is completely phenomenal. Think about this. Now, I know personally, and you probably do too, what a struggle it can be to sell something. Have you ever tried to sell something? I mean, you might have some success and sell some, but to sell out, that is exceptional. And they did this widow and her sons, they did this. They sold out, and they did it without news. They did it without TV ads. They did it without social media, et cetera. It was all word of mouth. Do you know the kind of influence one has to have to sell out of a product like that? Now, the passage does not imply that this widow was a notable woman of influence. We don't know, but we do know she was broke. So she might have been an unknown, unpopular, I don't know. We do know that her late husband was a faithful man of God. He served and feared the Lord, but he was already in debt before he died. So I doubt that he was financially prominent either. He left his wife broke. So right out the gate, she is a disadvantaged woman. Yet God gave her supernatural favor and the ability to sell out of jars of oil. I mean, you can have the best product in the world, and people still won't really be interested in buying it for whatever reason. It's hard to get people to buy certain things. And if those things don't satisfy their ego or a perceived personal gratification, you're going to have a hard time selling these products or whatever it is. But they sold out, so much so that it paid all their debts, paid all their bills, and then they were set for life. Don't we wish? Don't we pray for that? Lord, I need that kind of anointing in my life, okay? So let's talk about it. Let's look at the passage precept by precept and kind of get an idea what this lady did. How can we be down? How can we get this kind of blessing? What do we need to do? What principles are here that will teach us, that will guide us? Well, first of all, we see that there was a need, the first verse. Now, this woman was grieving, and she was in debt. So that's two things that are just heavy. She has lost the love of her life, the man that took care of her, that she was with. Now he's gone. Now they're trying to take her sons, and she owes all this money. She has no idea what to do. She is experiencing major loss. Now, grief alone is enough to debilitate a person. And not only is she dealing with the loss of her beloved, his debt became her debt. She's on the verge of losing the only other two things in her life that have meaning, her sons. She's about to lose everything. She is bottomed out. I don't know if you've ever been there, bottomed out like nothing. The Bible also says that she cried out. She knew she was in trouble. She knew she couldn't fix this problem herself. So she cried out, okay? And then the prophet responded. So Elisha was like, what's up, Mrs. What, I don't know her last name, but he's, okay, what's going on? How can I help you? Now, I don't know if he gave her time to respond, but then he was like, tell me, what do you have in the house? Now, that question itself implies that there's something there. Notice how he phrases this question. He didn't say, do you have anything in the house? Because if he had phrased it that way, she probably would have said, no, I don't have anything. I looked already. He said, what do you have in the house? And that is an open-ended question. An open-ended question forces you to be introspective. It forces you to think. It's not as simple as a yes or no. When you answer a yes or no question, you don't really have to put a lot of thought into it. But if somebody asks you an open-ended question, it causes you to pause and you got to think about this thing. So he said, tell me, what do you have in the house? Now, this question alone is indicative that he knew something was there. He just needed her to realize it and say it. Now, here I'm making the connection, constructive compliment. And the reason I'm talking about constructive compliment is because a constructive compliment is when somebody points out something of value that you have. And this question reminds me of a constructive compliment. Okay, now let me give an example of what a constructive compliment could be and why I'm trying to tie it into the question that Elisha posed to this widow. When he said, tell me what's in your house, he was basically pointing out to her that she already possessed what she needed. He was telling her that she had something great. Another example of a constructive compliment would be like if someone has been telling you for years that you're a good listener, you should start asking yourself things like, can I use this information to better the lives of others or myself? Is this compliment true for me? And if the answer is yes, figure out how to capitalize on it. Otherwise, you can let it go. If it doesn't apply, if it doesn't resonate with you, maybe it's not for you. Now, if people are always telling you that you're good at something, these questions should start arising in you. Okay? Sometimes it's easier for other people to see what we cannot see in ourselves. So if they can help us to connect our inner truth, our life can be happier and more authentic. And when it's worth taking the time to listen, and I'm not saying we have to follow everybody's idea or opinions about us, but when something resonates, pay attention. Someone could be functioning in the prophetic in that moment, and they can help you resolve some mysteries in your life by pointing you in the right direction, showing you what you already have, helping you to realize, oh my God, this is a gift. I could use this gift to support my family. I could use this gift to be a blessing to people. I could use this gift to change lives. Sometimes it takes someone outside of ourselves to point that out, and they may do that in the form of a question or in the form of a compliment. Now, how does she respond to this question? She did like many of us would do, right? She downplayed it. She really didn't see the value in what she had. And sometimes our gifts become so mundane, it becomes so comfortable, so easy, and so natural to us that we don't even realize that it's a unique gift from God. We tend to normalize what is in reality something extraordinary. We make it normal, and it's really extraordinary. Y'all hear that? It's not normal. It's easy for you, but it's difficult or even impossible for the average person to pull it off. That's when you know it's a gift, because not everybody can do what you do, and you got to recognize your gifts. Now, you could be missing your provision because you don't know that what you have is special. You think it's normal. So we need these people who happen to be mouthpieces of God, and God can use any voice. I mean, he used a donkey before. It might be a prophet. It might be a preacher. It might be a teacher. It might be a stranger, a child, a friend, or even your enemy. That's why you have to know God's voice. And when your gift is pointed out to you, your spirit ought to be quickened. So pay attention to the constructive compliment. And when people point out things that you're good at, God is always trying to talk to us. And I used to wonder when people complain that God never talks to them, I wonder how could that be? Because my experience is sometimes I wish I could make it stop, because sometimes I hear too much. And maybe it's because I see God in so many things. He's always speaking. God is seldom silent. And it's usually us who need to go silent. And pay attention, God is always willing and able to meet our needs. If we find ourselves grieving, broke, at rock bottom, God is right there and he is ready to make a way of escape. Now, Elisha gave specific instructions, and that's part of our problem too, a lot of us. We don't like to follow instructions, and we have our own ideas and our own ways of wanting to do things. And half the time, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest, too. I'm going to tell on myself, I just got a new air fryer. And the first thing I want to do, I take it out the box and plug it up. What instructions? Instructions for what? So we need to be better about following instructions. So we think, oh, it's easy. I can do that. I know how to put that together. All you got to do is plug it in. We miss out on so many features because we didn't bother to read the instructions to know what all the capabilities were, because we thought we knew everything. We thought we were too smart to read the instructions or even follow them. You got to read the instructions. And I'm kind of telling her business, but a relative of mine, she just got a new fancy car, right? And her car has all these features. She has not even begun to explore all the things it can do. And she realized, you know what? I got to sit here and read the manual, like from front to back, because otherwise she's not going to even be aware of all the things, all the benefits that this vehicle offers because, you know, by not reading the instructions. So we have to realize and recognize how important it is to read the instructions. And we know where the instructions for life are, right? We know where to find that, right? Genesis to Revelations, right? Those are our instructions. It's all there. It's been provided for us. We can't think that we're too smart or we know too much to have to refer back to our instruction manual, which is the Bible. So Elisha was very, he told her, go borrow a lot of empty vessels. He didn't just say, go borrow empty vessels. He said, a lot of them, a lot of them. We have to pay attention to the details. He was thinking big. He said, don't just get a little bit. He had them plan big and have big expectations. They needed room to grow, okay? Sometimes we have to give ourselves room to grow. Then his other instruction was to do this in private. He said, go behind closed doors. You know why? Because people will sabotage you. They may speak discouraging words. They might even cause you to doubt what God said. So be careful and be quiet sometimes, okay? There is a reason God put in the Bible, study to be quiet. And I know that's something I need to work on because I get excited sometimes. It's easy to get excited like Joseph, right? And want to tell people about your dreams. But they're going to just think you're bragging and get mad. So do your thing in private, okay? Let them just see your success. Let that be the public part. It's like when we go in our prayer closets and we pray privately and God blesses us openly. We don't have to tell everything. And with social media being so accessible, it's so easy to just type in a sentence and hit click and share things when it's harder times to have the type of self-control that we need to do things privately. But we have to keep that in mind. There are things we need to be quiet about. So this widow, she did exactly what Elisha said to do. She got her sons involved. They helped out. She put them to work. They went out and collected the vessels, and she did the pouring. They had an order of things. They had a system that they followed, and they used teamwork. Teamwork is so, so, so important. Know your role. Teamwork. And I'm throwing out key words and key phrases here. And I think the key, I probably shouldn't say I think, I know the key to her success is obedience. Obedience is the key to success. There's a reason the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. We can sacrifice all day long, give up this, give up that, and think we're struggling, trying to earn some blessings because we sacrificed, we gave up this, we gave up that. But if God didn't tell you to give it up, it's not, you ain't going to get a blessing from that. There's nothing noble in that. Obedience is the key. It's the key to success. And the other thing, now this is what I'm learning, is stewardship. Doing the right thing, making the good decisions with God, with what God has blessed you with. And some of us, so much money has gone through our hands. God has sent the blessing. We just squandered it. We blew it. And I'm talking about myself. If talking to any of you, I was terrible with money, okay? And I've made a lot of money in my lifetime and had absolutely nothing to show for it and was always struggling, which I couldn't understand. I make a decent wage. How come I'm broke? You know, I get paid every week or every other week, and I'm still struggling. It's like a hole is in my jar. And so I had to learn to discipline myself. I had to learn to make better choices and be smarter with my money. And since I have changed my way of thinking, made peace with money, saw money as the tool that it is, I'm doing so much better, being more disciplined, organized, having a plan, having a system, and being obedient. okay? Because God, half the time, he can't give us what he want to give us because we're hard-headed, we're not obedient, and that is the key. Okay, so she followed Elijah's instructions to AT. She didn't come back, give him any pushback, saying she had a better idea or, wait, hold on, let's do it this way, or I did it, or so-and-so. No, she just did it. And I'm not saying we follow people's instructions blindly. We got to know when God is talking to us, and we have to learn how to listen. So they filled the vessels, and then when the vessels ran out, it ceased. Now, verse 2, it says she had only, how many jars of oil did she have when he first said, what do you have in your house? She only had one jar, right? She filled up multiple jars. She collected all the jars in town. I don't know exactly how many. They don't give us a count, but I'm sure it had to be at least a couple dozen, a few dozen. I don't know. But what I do know is it was more than one, and it was way more than what she started out with. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we call supernatural provision. And I hope that you've experienced this before, and I know you have. I hope you realize it. It's real. It happens to this day. And we see it occur in the Old Testament and the New Testament. God providing supernaturally. Remember in 1 Kings 17 and 12, there was a single mom known as the widow of Zarephath. She was down to her last. She had a handful of meal and a little bit of oil in the cruse. And the prophet had the audacity to ask her to take that and bake him a cake with it. She was complicit. She did it. And as a result, verse 14 says, for this is what the Lord God of Israel says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. God supernaturally provided for this woman. She was ready to go die. She was ready to use her last and die, but God said no because of her obedience. God provided for her until the rain and crops came back. He did this supernaturally, and it's so amazing what obedience can do. And if we all recognize how obedience can turn things around in your favor, why would you ever disobey? Why wouldn't you obey when the benefits are so great? Because we can't believe the devil's lies. He tricks us like he did Eve and makes us think that there's a better way that we can slick our way into a better situation. No, obedience is the only way. And we should have learned that from Adam and Eve, because disobedience is what got us here. It's what brought sin here. Now, another instance of supernatural provision. Matthew 15:34, remember, 7 loaves and a few small fish. They fed over 4,000 plus women and children. Supernatural provision. Now, James 2:5 says, listen, my beloved, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? Have you ever experienced God stretching your money out? I know I have. When you didn't know how you were going to make it, but somehow you did, somebody came through for you, something came through, and you knew that was God. You knew it was God because there's no other way to explain how that happened. See, the opposite happened, too, where I'm wondering, ooh, where did my money go? You know, we can easily end up in debt just like the widow and her late husband. So we have to get into alignment with God. And when we find ourselves at rock bottom, we have to call for help like the widow did. We have to look to the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. And God can take a little and he can stretch it into a lot. I've watched people make less money and live better. When God blesses what you have, no matter how much or how little it is, he can make it meet every need according to his riches and glory. God does that. One plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. Now, after all their vessels were full, the flow ceased. It just stopped, right? It stopped. Now, some people, not us, okay, some people would have gotten caught up in the moment and would have searched for more vessels, being greedy, trying to take advantage of the flow, but it stopped. So they would not have been able to fill up another jar, even if they found more. We have to know when to stop, when the anointing stops flowing. Now, this is something that we cannot force. We do not control the Holy Spirit. We have to be obedient to the flow of the oil. Otherwise, we try to operate without the Spirit, and then we'll be wondering why what we're doing is not being blessed, why it's not anointed, why is it not blessing us anymore. We have to stop when the oil stops, when the flow stops. Now, I'm glad they were not greedy. They did not try to force the flow. They were complicit with the prophet who was led by the Spirit of God, and their obedience caused a lifetime of provision. I'm going to say that again. Their obedience caused a lifetime of provision. Now, Elisha instructed them, go, sell the oil, and pay your debt, and you and your sons will live on the rest. Now, how they managed to sell the entire inventory is a whole nother sermon in itself. Now, do you realize how rare it is to, and like I said earlier, to make or create a product to create demand and completely sell out to the point that all their debt was paid and there was enough to live off indefinitely? And with proper management skills, I'm sure they managed their money and made it last. So if they sold enough to clear their debt, they either had a lot of jars produced by just one jar, or they sold the jars for a high price. I don't know. But either way, they made a nice amount of money. This is sales success. And we know sales is hard, and this is why most people don't even like sales. How did they convince people to buy a jar of oil? How? I'm sure that the favor of God was a key component to their success. I'm telling you, obedience makes things happen, not greed and not extreme ambition. We have to give God something to work with. We can have all the faith in the world, but if we're not giving God something to work with, it's going to limit what he can do. This widow didn't just have faith, but her and her sons worked. They worked hard. They gave God something to work with, and he did something wondrous. Now, I was inspired earlier this week. I saw something I liked. I liked it so much that I wanted to create something similar. There was a seed of desire planted in me by a good experience that I was having. And when I thought about creating my own version, I started feeling like a copycat, okay? Or like, why do something that someone else is already doing? They're already doing that. Like, why would I do it? Then I started thinking, well, doing my own version of it really isn't copying. I was just inspired, right? A similar concept, but with my flavor. Then I asked myself, if this is a good thing, and if you make more of a good thing, that's good, right? The world will not get tired of good things. The world needs more good things. So if I can make more, creating more variety of something that can bless people and lift spirits, then it's a good thing, I think. If this is my gift and if God is instructing me to use it, me refusing for the sake of feeling like a copycat is only going to hinder me. So often we talk ourselves out of provision, and so many times we tie God's hands and we make it impossible for him to move on our behalf. And in doing this, we refuse to give him something to work with. So we have to use our gifts, our oil, and trust that God will open the doors for what he instructs. Just like he blessed the widow with paying customers, he will send you paying customers. The world is always in the market for good things, what people want and need. Then I started thinking about Proverbs 18:16 says, your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. Now, my remix of that, my interpretation, is that God will expand the universe to accommodate your gifts. He will certainly bring it to the attention of key people. So there's always room. You know how there's room at the cross? There is room at the top. This is not a competition. We don't have to compete with each other. I don't have to feel threatened because you want to do what I do. Hey, come on. There's enough of God's blessing for all of us. And you doing what I do isn't going to take anything from me. It's just going to add to the kingdom. And that's how we have to look at it, that we're teammates. We work together for the kingdom. You are not my competition. You are not my enemy just because you want to do something that I'm already doing. Come on, we need more. God is a creator, creates demand. He creates opportunities. There is plenty of room at the cross, like I said, and there is plenty of room for your gift when God approves. This world has finite resources, but God's provision is infinite. Now, constructive compliments from Jesus. They are throughout the Bible. He told us greater works we would do. Now, that's a compliment, and we need to think about that. If he said we can do greater works, really? I need to think about what greater works I can do. What else can I do? And he also said, greater is the one who is in you than the one who is in the world. What? Greatness is in me? Greatness is really in me? Think about that. If greatness is really in you and you believe it, then you're going to go do great things. Then he said his other constructive compliment was, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. What? He wants me to have abundant life? Think about that. He's pointing out something good about you, and you need to take heed to it. He said, I wish above all things that you would be in good health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. Really? He wants that for me? He sees that in me? We have to take this word personal. It is personal, and it is directed at you. It is intended to help you be successful, to help you win, help you to be provided for. God does not want us down here struggling and hurting. Yeah, we go through things. Yes, we go through times when we struggle, and it makes us appreciate the abundance. There are feasts, there are famine, and it goes in cycles. We experience all of them. But we have to use the blessings that God has given us. Now, yeah, these are good things that are being said about you and spoken over you. And let these constructive compliments change how you see yourself. Be inspired. Run with your ideas. Bottle up your oil. Give God something to work with so that he can supernaturally meet every need of yours according to his riches and glory. And the next time somebody points out exceptional qualities in you, maybe you'll pay closer attention. When they say things like, oh, you decorated this so nicely, or wow, you're so good with money, or oh, your singing is so soothing, or the cake you baked is amazing, oh, you did your own hair, it looks so professional, you're super organized, you're funny, you could host a talk show, etc. Things we take for granted, things we downplay as insignificant, might be worth taking a deeper look. It could be the thing that helps you get out of debt, live a better life, a key to financial security. Pay attention, okay? God is always speaking and showing you a way out. He has the answers. He is the answer. He has a solution for every issue. Seek him out. Ask him for help. Humble yourself. And I pray for phenomenal events to take place in your life. The miraculous, supernatural provision of God, may it give you a testimony. And I'm telling you, only believe. Jesus died for you. I mean, he personally died for you. Wow, you must be a pretty big deal. Take advantage of your privilege. Use it to help others create a better life for yourself and your family. You got gifts. You have oil. Do the work. Gather vessels and jars. Go get them, a lot of them. Fill them up while the flow is running. Take it and go out and sell it. God wants you to be prosperous. He sent us a Savior who gave his life. The highest compliment ever was him demonstrating that you are worth his life. Take that compliment and use it constructively. Let God change your life. To the utmost, Jesus says, God bless you.
Amen. Lord have mercy. Amen. Amen. Jesus. Ooh, Janine, really? You talking about let me get prepared, girl. You got prepared. I mean, Pastor Foles, you got prepared. Lord have mercy. I listened to Pastor Lydia Wright singing her head off this morning. It tore me up. And now I done got on here listening. This is the sermon of the year. This one got to be played over and over and over. This is the sermon of the year. This is how you start your year. We're going to officially make, what is this, April? April is the first month of the year, y'all. Amen. It's the first month of the year. Happy New Year. Now you know how to get started. Take this sermon, listen to it over and over and over, and go out and make something happen. What you got already? Oh, Lord have mercy. Janine, we going. Where was Crystal at? It's Crystal. Crystal, help me out. I'm tore up.
Wait a minute. I swear in the heavens of Jesus above, I am like, oh, my God. You know what? I'm like Simeon in Luke chapter 2. I done seen the Savior. I can go to heaven now. I can go. Jesus, take me now. When I tell you this sermon is a sermon, I don't ever have to hear anything else in my life.
This is the rapture happen. Is that Jesus on his
own? Right now.
Jesus,
let me finish this pizza, and then we can go to heaven. Lord have mercy, Jesus.
Lord have mercy, really?
Right. I am outdone. Like, it's almost like, oh my God.
Oh God.
Wait a minute.
I got to pray. Lord Jesus, prepare me when I preach like that. Prepare me like that. But wait a minute. I don't know what she went through to get that. So hold up on that, Jesus.
Oh,
I know you went through a lot
mercy.
To get that there.
Oh, my God. I don't even, how?
What?
What?
Like, I even got help on my check this out. On my next book, I've been saying, Jesus, I'm not comfortable about this because everybody else already wrote on this subject. And then did she not say, don't say you're a copycat, but it's
That's
a good
right.
thing. Jesus. Ooh, Jesus.
It's an idea that you put your own spin on. It's an idea that you put a spin on. Like, I am completely blown away. And then the precision and the patience and like Columbo said, you know, about that thing. Yeah.
Columbo, he had you all messed up. Columbo gets to the end and run your host. She Columbo'd that sermon. I mean, really.
I feel like this was just a conversation. This is just a conversation between me and her. Because when I tell you she has spoken to every single thing in my life at this very moment, I'm driving, and I'm like, I know people probably looking at me like, is this lady crazy? Is she okay? Does she need help? Because I'm in the car just all over the
place. Oh, God.
Oh, God Almighty.
Janine, hold
look,
on. You got us towed up. You done got something. And she even told me and Crystal, y'all need to have a show because we're going to have to talk. We might have a house full of oil and don't even know it.
Jesus. Oh, my
God. What happened? Everybody looking around their house now. Everybody trying to see what they got. What I got, Jesus, is my money at in here.
Where is it at?
Come on.
Oh, my God.
Lord have mercy. This is too much.
It's too much. Look, Janine was right there. Look, don't nobody come back on. Give all the other people a break. Hello.
Ain't no water left in the river. Blew it all out.
It's gone.
Okay, Crystal, we're going to let you. Janine, hold on.
Yes.
Crystal, go ahead and do something. We're getting out of here. We're leaving you. We got to go.
I'm about to do these announcements. Lord have mercy. Y'all already know what's up. It's Saturday. We have basically heard the final sermon that we're ever going to hear on Blog Talk. Janine has just. I don't even have the words. I don't even think my vocabulary goes up that high. It's been a minute since I graduated college. I ain't learned no new words. So I don't know. That was stupendacular. Like, it was so good. And the Holy Spirit, Lord have mercy. You want to talk about somebody who was always on his job. We are all in separate places. We are not even together, but just the three people you heard, Pastor Janine and me, all talking at the same time, and we are all on fire. Like, oh my God, y'all. Okay, let me compose myself. Good morning, everyone. It is Saturday. It is Saturday. What's today's day? April the 24th. It is April the 24th. Lord have mercy. Y'all just listened to the Saturday morning worship service on Blog Talk Radio. And look, this morning, Pastor O was playing these sad, slow songs. I'm like, come on, Pastor. Like, I'm about to just, I'm already a crybaby. So I'm like, I'm about to be crying on these songs. I'm like, can we get something hype? And then we get the sermon. Okay, so anyway, good morning, everybody. This Saturday, and it's the Blog Talk Radio Show, our Saturday worship service. We welcome all of our old and new listeners, if I can even talk, who tuned in this morning. Amen. This was the last Saturday, I believe. This is the last Saturday of the month of April. I don't think we have no more Saturdays, but I'm going to tell you, if this is the last Saturday of April, which I actually think it is, you want to talk about going out with a bang? I mean, Janine just shot us all up. The last Saturday of the month, we say happy 18th anniversary to Run for Christ Ministries, a ministry of teaching, learning, and doing. God knew what he was doing, and he was so intentional. Lord, was he intentional when he brought this wonderful ministry together? The Lord has kept his promises, and he has been faithful. And 18 years later, he is still working in us and through us to continue to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth and saving souls along the way. So we continue to praise God for all that he has done for us at Run for Christ Ministries. Amen. As you know, we have been celebrating here on Blog Talk Radio each and every Saturday and Sunday this month. And tomorrow we will be wrapping it up with our Sunday service. But Janine has wrapped up today's celebration. It is so pretty. It has like a pretty bow. It's got glitter on it. Like, it is just so perfect. What better way to end our Saturday services in our anniversary month, the word that we just received. Amen. And we always want to say thank you to the pastor of the hour. Excuse me, Pastor Janine Folks brought that word today. She is always ready to bless us with a word from the Lord. And so we cannot thank her enough for her faithfulness, her consistency, her transparency, and obedience. You know, it's hard to tell people about the things that you have shortcomings in. You know, it's hard to put that out there. And we don't know how many people are listening, but, you know, to put that out there to people to say, look, I haven't always been right in this, or I haven't always made the best decisions in that. That's hard to say. But when you're talking about constructive criticism and receiving criticism, we always think it's a bad thing. But her sermon just taught us that it is a beautiful thing. And I'm not even going to talk about what my devotional is for today, because I just feel like this whole thing was a setup. So we pray that you all were blessed in some way by what you heard today. And Lord have mercy. If you were not blessed, if you heard this entire sermon today and you were not blessed, we are going to lay extra oiled hands on you, because there's no way that you couldn't have been. Amen. Running for Christ Ministries, we know the sad, empty building is still located at 27085 West Otter Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. We know that our Bible reading class is held on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on deck teaching 2 Kings chapters 14 through 18. The questions have been emailed, and they're available for you online to access. rfcm.org under Bible classes is where you will find them. Every Tuesday, excuse me, at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall, we already know Pastor O's brothers on Blog Talk, preaching and teaching in his series Training Day. Set yourself a reminder each week to tune in at 4 p.m. You want to talk about somebody else blowing stuff out the water? I mean, it ain't no more water left. The water just keeps getting blown away. When you listen to him, he is so full. And it's like, just listen, tune in 4 o'clock every Tuesday. Set yourself a reminder. Amen. And then so Sunday, April 25th, which is tomorrow, Running for Christ Ministries, of course, will still be celebrating our 18th church anniversary. Not in person, unfortunately, but we can and will celebrate spiritually together. So make sure to tune in tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. for Sunday School with Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate, pulling double duty, teaching 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and make sure you're still tuned in at 10 a.m. for our Sunday service, again with Pastor Jonathan, also bringing us the word. Amen. So tune in for that. All of Pastor O's books are $5 off from now until, I know it was April 30th. I feel like I saw something on Facebook that maybe said September. I don't want to say September. Pastor will clear that up, but I know it has been until the end of this month. So take advantage of the discount, buying for your kids, family members who may not know the Lord, friends, people in your community, yourself, just whoever the Lord leads you to. excuse me, share these books, you know, and bless them. Bless your life, bless their lives. You never know, something so small can be so big in a person's life when they're going through something. And even though you might not know everything somebody's going through, something like this could really, really, really make a person happy. So visit PastorGMO.com to purchase. Again, that's Pastor GMO, that's Pastor's website, if you would like to take advantage of the $5 discount and purchase his books. Amen? Amen. So the fourth Wednesday of every month from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. from now until November, First Fruit Living Ministries and Minister Shelley, along with Pastor O, as well as anyone else who wants to join in, will be out in front of Running for Christ Ministries by the bus stop, praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, as well as giving out Bibles and lunches, having conversation. So if you're able to make it out on the fourth Wednesday of every month from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., please do so. Amen. And be timely. Minister Shelley is on point with the time. So if you can't be on time, like if you like me, probably be late to their own funeral, not a good idea. So if you're going to go, make sure you commit yourself to be on time. Amen? Amen. So also a reminder that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org, click on Blog Talk Radio tab. You have all of our classes from the beginning that you can access all for free, download them for yourself, and make sure to share them with others. Amen. So, as previously stated, for the entire month of April, of course, Run for Christ Ministries is celebrating 18 years of teaching, learning, and doing. And we know that during this pandemic, our members and friends don't have as much as they normally would have, you know, to give as love offerings. So we're only asking for $1 for each year, which is $18, or whatever the Lord Jesus lead you to do. And for those who cannot financially give, please keep us in your prayers. Amen. Thank you from the Run for Christ Ministries family. So with that, if you would like to bless us at RFCM with a free will love offering, excuse me, if you're a member and you want to pay your tithes or give any additional offerings, go to our church website, rfcm.org. All the information you need to do what you need to do is right there. We would like to thank everyone that faithfully gives to Run for Christ Ministries, even though we're not physically present in the building, because of your continuous support. As most of you know, we've already made our first installment towards our outreach ministries that we help, Forgotten Harvest, Salvation Army, Detroit Rescue Mission, Covenant House, Bondage Breaker Ministries, Gleaners, and First Fruit Living Ministries. Amen. Praise God. We know that these ministries help lots of hurting and struggling people all year long in different capacities. So we praise God for you. God bless you and thank you. And for more info on our outreach, of course, go to our church website again, rfcm.org. In addition to this, if you would like to give a love offering for the preacher who brought the word to us today, which was Pastor Janine, folks, and if you don't, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for everybody. I'm making personal. I'm knocking on everybody's door because that was the sermon of life, okay? So if you would like to give to Minister Janine Folks, to Pastor Janine Folks, please visit the church website, rfcm.org. Under offerings, you can just give, make a notation for who it's for, and the gift of love will be passed on accordingly. Amen? Amen. So we know that prayer is simply talking to God, and it's essential to bringing heaven down to earth. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing, no thing, nada, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. We have been commanded to seek God's help and God's hand in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it is our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we will be obedient today and continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all the time, those who are sick, shut in, one another, of course, yourself, our children, our nation, our world, our leaders, everybody who has not had the opportunity to work from home or shelter in place or quarantine or whatever you want to call it with this whole pandemic situation going on, you know, keep them lifted up in prayer. The many missing and exploited who are being trafficked and abused, and all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who are persecuted for their belief and service to the Lord. Special prayers go out to all of our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Also, keep in prayer Tyrone Hamilton and Pastor John Mack. Amen. Pray for those who are spiritually lost and confused, remembering Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, your household today, Judea, your community today, Samaria, outside of your comfort zone to where you would normally go in today's time, and to the ends of the earth. And that's places you never thought you'd go, never even knew existed. Well, guess what? They need the word of God too. And it's our job to spread the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 reads, Samuel said, which does the Lord prefer, obedience or offerings and sacrifices? It is better to obey him, than to sacrifice the best sheep to him. Now, we know it was literal sheep back in the day, but what do you offer up to God today in place of your obedience to him? We heard all about obedience today. So is it your work, your family, your kids, your social life, social media, money, whatever it is, that's your sheep. So if God asks you to plant a seed, then plant it. If he asks you to water it, then water it. Whatever you have to do whatever you have to give up to do what God asks you to do is nothing in comparison to the blessings you will receive by being obedient. Amen. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 5:4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So when you are sad or heartbroken over the loss of a friend or loved one, or even with the loss that we see, hear, and read about all over the world, use these scriptures as well as many others to give you strength and encouragement that only the word of God can give. You know, so with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and prayers. And as always, we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. We're all part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings are not always in the form of money or things, and a smile or a kind word goes a long way, and we know that the gift of love is free. So take time out to be a ray of light to someone today, because as Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen. So happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week or who are celebrating today. We always send special love and birthday wishes to our Run for Christ Ministry family. And Nedra was the only one who had a birthday at Run for Christ Ministry this month. She celebrated on the 12th. So happy, happy birthday to her. Amen. All right, y'all. Your devotional for today. Now, I don't talk to Pastor. Janine didn't tell me what she was talking about today. the Holy Spirit is on his job. All right, so your devotional for today. Are you using your spiritual gifts to bless others? Okay, and that's by Pastor Rick Warren. And it reads, there are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, and yet the same Lord is served. There are different types of work to do, but the same God produces every gift in every person. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. So when you know what you're shaped to be, then you know what you ought to be, and you can start focusing on that and make better use of your life. The moment you step across the line spiritually and begin following Jesus, you say, I'm going to go God's way, not my own way. I'm going to let him direct my life. I want to follow God's purpose, not my purpose. I'm going to do what I was wired and made to do. After you take that step, God does four things for you. He forgives you. He gives you eternal life. He gives you the Holy Spirit, and he gives you special abilities. In the Bible, these special abilities are called spiritual gifts, which makes them different from material or physical gifts. They are the abilities you need to get the job done that God wants you to do. Most people who are believers don't even know they've got spiritual gifts, much less what they are, but you have them. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 6, there are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, and yet the same Lord is served. There are different types of work to do, but the same God produces every gift in every person. God has a purpose for your life, and your spiritual gifts are the equipment he gives you to do what he asks you to do. God will never ask you to do something he doesn't give you the ability to do. It's given to you the moment you accept Christ. You don't get to choose your gift, and you don't get to earn your gift. It's also not for your benefit. Your spiritual gifts are given to you to help other people, and other people in the church family are given their gifts to help you. When you use your spiritual gift, the people in your church get blessed. When we develop and use our spiritual gifts, we all get blessed. To get that blessing and to make the most of your life, you need to figure out how God shaped you and what spiritual gifts he gave you. So, some final thoughts. Ask yourself these questions. Are you using your spiritual gifts to fulfill the role that God intended for you? Why is it important to have other people help you identify and develop your spiritual gifts? And in what ways have you been blessed by other people's spiritual gifts? So only you can answer these. The Holy Spirit will convict you, but not condemn you. So once you've answered these questions and you feel like you didn't quite align up with the Lord, confess these areas of your life to him and let him work on you so you can use your spiritual gifts to not only bring glory to God, but to be a blessing to others. And you're in luck, because here at Running for Christ Ministries, we have accessible to you, completely free, a spiritual gift test. So just visit the church website, rfcm.org, and under Christian Resources, the spiritual gifts test is listed there for you. You can print it out as many times as you need it and do it as many times as you want. I tend to do mine once a year. Share this with others and help people recognize their spiritual gifts as well. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it with others. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements. And I'm putting in my 2 weeks because I'm for real quitting this church. There's too much going on.
No 2 weeks for you.
No 2 weeks for you. Oh, my gosh. Whew. I didn't think I could
okay.
get to you today.
I'm telling you, talking about the spiritual gifts, I'm so thankful,
I'm
God, that you went from 1 to 4. What was that, 10
oh
to 4 to 1?
Teaching. Yes.
Yeah, look at you teaching.
Hello. Good God.
Woo. Okay, Janine, you done got this pot all stirred up. I'm telling you, it is steaming. It is steaming.
Jesus.
Thank you for allowing the
You're
Lord
welcome.
To just have his way. Amen. Talking about wanting to bless his people. Amen. You know, that just, see, here I go. No limits. See, I thought I was like, okay, that's crescendo right there. No limits. That's as good as it get, right, Jesus? And then you come back with, amen, constructive, amen, criticism. Or what?
Compliments.
Amen. Constructive compliments.
Yes.
We already
yes.
got constructive criticism. We used to that. because people love to do that. That's their way of fussing at us without fussing at us. But how many constructive compliments do we actually accept, or do we try to humble our way out of it? Oh, I know what you said. Oh, no, it is what it is. God has given me. See, you got me going again. See, I'm going to be fed for the next 3 weeks. Tomorrow, Jonathan going to feed, and then next week, Janice going to feed, and then you coming back for Mother's Day. I'm going to be, by the time we get to Mother's Day, I'm going to be breathing like this. Amen. Woo, Jesus. God Almighty, who give out that kind of food on a Saturday morning? I mean, really? I had no idea. I thought we was brunching. I didn't know we was top-line dinner. Amen. Lord Jesus, it won't stop. Janine, it won't. Crystal, it won't stop. It's, oh,
I know.
Lord have mercy.
Somebody mute this mic. Tim Powell, mute this mic.
Oh, you okay, Janine, me and Crystal are out of here. Please, please give us some prayer and some words. Thank you, Crystal.
Amen.
Love you.
You're welcome. Love you guys, too.
I love y'all. It's how good the Lord is. Glory to his name. And we thank him. He gives us what we need when we need it. And sometimes we don't even know what we need. And my granddaughter is also blessed in the mic. And I just want to say, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this message, Lord, and let us run with it, Lord, that the word would not be in vain, that we would allow it to germinate in our lives, that things would manifest, that we will receive those compliments, that we would take heed and ponder those things when people point out the value and what we do and what our gifts are, Lord. Help us to see it. And help us to use it and do something with it. And, Lord, even when we see it in others, Lord, let us be sometimes the voice. Let us have your voice so that we can speak life to others and show them the value in themselves that they have not seen, that they don't realize how gifted they are. Lord, as we help each other, we water each other, Lord, and you will bring the increase. And I just pray that everyone have a blessed week, that service will be blessed tomorrow. Lord, that you would continue to give us new ideas and help us to be creative. Lord, you are the creator, and you give us the ability to create, make new things, make good things, things that bless people. This is not selfish ambition, Lord. This is about kingdom building, Lord, and living the abundant life that you want us to have. Lord, bless us and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen and let it be so. Amen. Thank you again, preacher. I appreciate it. And thank you for helping me to do, coming alongside and helping me to do what God called Running for Christ Ministries to do. Teach, learn, and do. Thank you, Janine. I appreciate it. Amen. All of us do. Amen.
Yes.
Baby Holy Ghost, send her love. She can't hardly wait to give you what she wrote. Amen. God bless.
Aww. Thank you, guys. Love you.
You're welcome. Amen. We have truly been blessed today, and God has been good to us. And what he sent from heaven to earth, I mean, we should just take that in. I know these days and times sort of, you know, we've been raised in our minds and our spirits now to a place where the troubles in the world don't seem that bad, because for a while we were on top of the mountain with Jesus. Now we need to come down from the mountain, okay, and go out into the highways and hedges and compel folks to come in and let those folks know who are in Christ. You need to look inside yourself, because as we heard Crystal when she was preaching, she said that God has placed something inside of us from Pastor Wick Warren, amen, that we didn't get to pick, we didn't get to choose, we didn't get to earn it, but we got it. And with what Pastor Folks just gave us, well, we just need to go out and know, amen, that it's already done. We just have to do it. Why? Because he already did it. God bless you. God keep you. Amen. Ephesians 2 and 10, God is doing that work that he planned to do in us before the world was ever created. We predestined, y'all. Can't fail. Let's go get it.
Nobody's stopping the tide. Try to break me, try to pick me up, but I got Jesus on my side.
that I thought it would die. But ain't no power stronger than the one who came and laid down his life. And I got more to find. The enemy can't stop me, the devil calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long. So he gon' step in and make it alright. Won't he do it? Said he would. Fight your battle for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night.
So I trust the man all time.
All time.